Okay. I know we've prayed, but I'm going to pray again. I'm always nervous. So, Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that you've gathered here, Lord. And I ask that the message this morning, that it would bear fruit, that it would touch hearts, that it comes from your mouth, Lord, from you and not from me. So just remove me from the equation, Lord, and I pray that you just speak through me. I just yield myself to you this morning, and I just thank you, Father, for your mighty love, your greatness, your faithfulness, your mercy, and your grace towards us, Father. We just praise and thank you for all. In Yeshua's name, amen. So you may be seated, and you don't even have to say anything to each other. How about that? Okay. I want to talk to you about the bride today, and I in trying to tie it into the turning the tide, I think the bride, it does turn the tide. I think that is the job of the bride at some point, turn the tide away from the flood of the world, right, and to the kingdom of God. And how can the bride of Messiah turn the tide? What is her role? And so, because of the position that I get at this time of the week of Sukkot, I kind of get to review a little bit and touch on what we've learned so far this week. So we had Jerry, who taught us not to be lemmings, for sure. Don't jump off any cliffs, but be set apart. To be set apart and to stand against the tide. And it's not an easy thing to do, but he sets us apart. And that's kind of one of the ways you know you're being prepared to be the bride, is that when you begin to have that boldness to be set apart, to be different. Because we all are not the bride of Christ or the bride of Messiah just because we've said, you know, yes, I believe. Exactly. It's not just because we believe that we are the bride. The bride is made. The bride is put through the fire. The bride is tested. The bride is made ready. Her garments are made spotless and without wrinkle. And who can say that they're spotless and without wrinkle? Not me, for sure. And probably not most of you either. But we're being made ready, right? The bride is also, it says the bride is making herself ready. So we have an active participation in that. So be set apart. Be okay about being set apart. We all probably have associations that are not wise, you know, in our lives, or that are from our past that we may not need to be intimately close with any longer, but that we are there to pray for them, to love them into the kingdom when it's appropriate, but we don't hang out, we don't let that bad company corrupt our good character that God is trying to shape in us. So anyway, that's that. Also discerning the voice of God in all the voices that are out there, that we must be tuned in to hear his voice. As Pastor says, maybe my sheep hear my voice, but maybe if you're not hearing his voice, you're not his sheep. So listen for him. I've had good advice that we need to always have our ears on and listening for his voice in everything. It's everywhere, but you have to discern what is his voice and what is not. From Pastor Matt, we learned the importance of a disciplined life, accepting God's kingship. He also talked to us about revealing God's glory. And isn't that the job of the bride, to be that glorious figure that reveals who he is? He used 1 Peter 3. You have that scripture? It can come up there. Can you turn me up a little bit? I don't know. Is that better? Okay, sorry. I probably look like a dork, but okay. Okay. So instead, sanctify Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. That's that preparation of being the bride, revealing his glory. So that's a very important aspect. We learned from Pastor Mike, who was here, we learned to be broken before God for over our community. The bride bears the heart of the husband, of the Messiah, and is broken for those that are in the community that he's placed us in. So we've learned to know what the community is, what the reality of that community is. Those were really good points that we learned. And so that's an area we need to know. So take those things to heart. If you didn't take notes on some of those things, that was a good takeaway in there, I thought. Also, I really loved the part of that when we pray from that place of victory, and that we declare what it is we want when we pray, that it is not, we are not beggars, we are not, orphans or anything. We have a king who is our father, and he has given us the victory, and we start from the place of victory, and claim what it is that we want in that sense of just knowing and declaring it and praising him for that victory, because he has said it's in your hands, I've given it to you. Okay, so then the Bible, let's see, oh no, Pastor Curtis talked this one of the most important parts about our mindset, about what we think about and what we're dwelling on, but about the mindset of the bride, and the mindset of the bride does not have the mindset of the world. No longer. We put away that kind of thinking and we take thoughts captive. We make them obedient to the will of Messiah. I've had opportunity this morning to talk to people about that idea, and it brought back to me an understanding I had a long time ago of the enemy and the flaming arrows that he tries to send at us and the shield that we have to put up. But also, the Lord gave me an understanding of it a long time ago, because we talk about the enemy wanting to get a foothold into our life. As the bride, we can't let him have one. If we want to be the bride and we're trying to prepare to be made ready, we cannot let him have a foothold. And so I always envisioned a rock climber. I think at the time my kids were probably getting into doing some climbing, and I understood that idea of the footholds, and seeing a cliff climber in a sense, where tiniest little crack, they can get something in there and hang on sometimes, in desperation. Well, the enemy can too. So we can't let him. We need to have a slick surface, a slick wall. So if that kind of gives you a visual aid at times, that's that shield and that slick wall that nobody can get a foothold into your life, because you're not going to let it. You're not going to let those flaming arrows take hold or any kind of a foothold to bring you down, because you are being made ready to be his bride. So the Bible talks to us a lot about wives and their role. And we've always applied these to the women. I know throughout Christianity, women study, we go to Bible studies, we read books, and all the scriptures about wives and what the wives' role is. And there are scriptures for the husbands as well, but the husbands usually always know the ones about the bride too, or the wife. But these scriptures are not just for the women. They're for the bride. They're for all of us. And so it is important that the husbands or the men who've studied them in the context of this is, how my wife needs to be, need to look at them in the way of this is how I need to be, because I am being made ready, and they apply. This is what he is instructing us with. Repeat the part about the husbands need to know. Even in reading these scriptures again, instructions for the wife, it's like there's instruction right next to it for the husband, which is amazing and it's awesome, and we need to know those, and the women need to know those as well, because that's our husband and it is who Messiah is. So you are, as a husband on earth, a fleshly, physical husband or man, you are that embodiment as well. But the woman is the embodiment of the bride, but as altogether, as Israel, as his people, we are the bride. Okay, so starting way back in the beginning, Genesis 2:18, we have, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him, oh, and this isn't the version I wanted, but I will make him, I don't think it is anyway, a help meet for him. Okay, so that term, it's like help meet. What is that? And I know for years people have struggled with it. It's hard to interpret, hard to understand it at times. And I want to just give you a little bit of things. I looked up a study and I thought it had some really good information. So we're going to get into a little bit of the Hebrew. But the Hebrew word there for help is ezer, E-Z-E-R. And then it has another word with it, K-N-E-G-D-O, yeah, which is K-E-N-E-G-D-O, K-N-E-G-D-O. The Hebrew word for help is also a saving power, and the term helpmeet has never been done justice as it's been translated, because mainly it just means, you know, it's just referred to as a helper. Merely a helper, and I think for years women have thought, okay, I'm just to be the helper. I'm just my husband's helper. I just come alongside, but I help him. But what am I? You know, where's my role? But when you're considering that the bride of Messiah is his helpmeet, we need to really know what it means and to understand it. So the original Hebrew means something much more powerful than just a helper. So the word ezer is a combination of two roots, one meaning to help, the other meaning to rescue and to save, and to be strong also. So eventually over time, the roots of that merged into one word, and so did their meanings. So at first it meant to save or be strong, but in time it has always been interpreted as help. But how much more powerful is it to think of rescuing, being saving, being strong also? And in a relationship, I think when you are in a marriage, when you are a helpmeet, you know that is your role. You understand it. You understand you are much more than just a helper. So the noun ezer occurs 21 times in the Hebrew Bible, and 8 times it means savior. Other times it is used to mean strength. So for example, in 1 Samuel 7:12, the word Ebenezer is there. Hopefully, yeah. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and named Ebenezer, saying, thus far, Adonai has helped us. So it describes there God's deliverance. But the word there, Eben, that first part, means rock, and Ezer, salvation or help. So the root Ezer is used to describe it's used that way to describe to Adam who Eve is. When she was formed, he said, that was the term that was used to let him know. So it's not intended just as helper, but a deliverer and a savior. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? It's pretty different than what we've always understood. So the other part of the term help meet, which is commonly translated as meet for, M-E-E-T, for, or fit for, is the word kenegdo. And it's hard to know because it's only used one time in the Bible. It's hard to know what it really means. But as it's used, it's a related word that means against. Against. It's one of the first words, as a companion for Adam that was against him. It kind of doesn't make sense, except that it also could mean in front of or opposite, complementary, in other words. So exactly corresponding to, or when you look at yourself in a mirror, there's an image that's against you, but you're seeing your something placed before you that's opposite you, even in the parts or the things that are missing from one, the other has. Eve was not designed to be exactly like Adam. She was designed to be his mirror opposite, possessing the other half of the qualities, responsibilities, and attributes which he lacked. Just like the physical organs were physically mirror opposites, one internal, one external, their divine stewardship was designed to be opposite as well, but fit together perfectly to create life. So Eve was Adam's complete spiritual equal, endowed with an essential saving power that was opposite from his. So women are saviors to men by the fact that they give them life and nurture them towards the light of Messiah by conceiving, creating, and bearing mortal bodies. They make it possible for God's children to start on their mortal journey. And I won't keep reading completely, but I think there was like a really good understanding of that woman role of bringing life in, giving breath, you know. It's a powerful gift that a mother has. A mother will give her life. A mother will give her life for her child. And does so many times, or comes near to it in the birth process. So even Adam, whose physical body wasn't created by a daughter of Eve, but was saved and delivered by a woman. And then it was through a woman that our Messiah came to us. That was necessary. That was necessary that she came through, or he came through a woman. Okay. So I just want to say, how much different would it look if we had learned that scripture in Genesis to read this way? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a companion of strength and power who has a saving power and is equal with him. And I think what really struck me so much about this is that as we learn about the bride, and we're seeing and learning more and more, the bride is Yeshua on this earth right now, correct? We embody Yeshua in us. And we are the messenger. The bride says, come, right? The bride is the one who is gathering his people. We have him in us. And that this, I think, really shows that there is a power that is, he is still the head, but there's an equality in the sense that we have that same job of that saving power. We are salvation to many. And so in other places in Scripture, Proverbs 31:10, we see more instruction for the bride and what her role is. So a woman of valor, she's an accomplished woman. Her husband's heart trusts in her. She brings, if you can put the next one up, I didn't put it up there, but 11. She brings him good and not harm. He lacks nothing, and she is a strong woman. And we all know this because we go through it a lot, this Proverbs 31 woman. But we know she's no wimp, right? She is out there. She buys a field. She makes a lot of decisions. She is a strong woman. So that strength is there. And her husband's heart trusts in her. How many of us want to be that bride that he will trust? That we are trustworthy. Amen. That we have shown ourselves approved, right? Yes. She is submissive. She is a submissive wife. Ephesians. This is a famous one. Every bride, every wife should know this one. Probably every man knows it. Ephesians 5, 21 and 22. Orderly relationships in marriage. Also, submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Messiah. We don't often hear that one quoted, but that one's really important because that's the body ministry, right? Of submitting ourselves one to another. That means accountability one to another. That we are willing to let others speak into our lives and that we don't reject, but that we take it to prayer. We test what we hear and we discern the voice of God when we hear others speaking to us. So we submit, but we submit to our own husbands as to the Lord. And so men, who is your own husband? It's Yeshua. So we submit, you submit to him, and as well as wives. In submitting to your husband, you are submitting to the Lord. But it's as that collective bride, he wants somebody who is sold out to him, who is yielded, who doesn't hold anything back from him, who is willing to lay down whatever he asks them to, and says, I give it up for you. His community. So the husbands, the next passage says, husbands, love your wives as Messiah loved his community and gave himself up for her. to make her holy, having cleansed her by immersion in the word. I like that version. We've often heard it as the washing of the water of the word, and that one can be kind of hard to wrap your head around at first, but immersion in the word kind of helps us understand it a little better. But it's just like a mikvah, you know, the way that it has that spiritual thing is that we're being immersed in something to where we come out something different, like being put in a vat of dye, immersed in it, you come out looking different, right? And so spiritually, we come out different. And so being immersed in the word, it changes you. His word doesn't return void. His word is powerful. It does wash us. It scrubs us out. That's why on Yom Kippur, when we're repeating a lot of the scriptures, we come out feeling like we've been scrubbed inside out, you know, because we've been cleansed by his word. Which one? In Ephesians, the husbands, and the water, the word. It's following this. 21, 22, 23 maybe, 24. It's where it continues. And I just didn't put that reference in there. I just wrote it out and read it. Can you put the next two lines up and let's see if it's there? In Ephesians, we're at 21, 22, the next two verses maybe. I think it refers to the husbands love your wives. We'll wait, and when they come up, we'll have that. But being completely yielded, for the husband is head of the wife, as Messiah is also head of his community, himself the savior of the body. Is there another one? Keep going. I just want to say I encountered a bride today, one who was ready this morning, was in the spirit, and I was running a little late and needed to get myself ready, and I went in the bathroom and somebody was in there praising God and just worshiping and praying, and I thought, okay, I need to be here. This is perfect. I can get myself ready, and I'm also getting getting pumped up, getting prayed for, having, you know, and that's the bride. She was in the right spot at the right time. And it blessed me so much to have encountered that. You can't find the next verses? That's not it. It's what, 25? Try 25. It's where it says that he makes her ready, cleaning her by the washing of the water. Yeah, okay, by immersion in the word. There it is. To make her holy, having cleansed her. So he wants to immerse us in his word, to cleanse us. And so we know that we are cleansed by being in his word. And not just the written word, that's important. And having it hidden in our heart, is very important. But it's spending time in prayer with him. He is the living word. And you know what? It's also being in community, because the people around us embody him, and they also have the word living in them. And they also have a job to do, just as the person in the bathroom this morning was on an assignment, didn't even know it, but had an assignment to build me up before I had to speak. And so that's the beauty of it, is that when we're in community, we have opportunities we would not otherwise have. When we're just lone rangers, you know, we have the connections that build us up, that that make us ready, that wash us by the word. Oftentimes, it'll come from somebody speaking the word over you, or speaking something and triggers something in us, or I don't want to use the word trigger, but, you know, awakens the word that is in us too, you know, and will alert us to something. So being completely yielded. So yeah, I don't really have a whole lot more. I wanted to prepare this, and it's instruction. I don't want to belabor the whole point, but instructions for the wives. We all need to know and to follow them, that we are a strong counterpart. You know, and pastors taught on this a lot, about the bride is the one who's out there, that we are the ones that are going to call in. And we're given so much opportunity, and especially in these times, as he gave us the vision a year ago or more, to be a bridge to our community. And we have stepped out in that as a body. We've been stepping out in that capacity to be a bridge to the community around us. And what does that mean? What does it look like? We've tried to express it over this last year. But in my opinion, what I saw in it is that it means that we're reaching out to others and we're finding people who have a hunger to want to know Torah, to want to, who didn't know how to go about it, searching it out, but who have an inkling, who've heard a shofar, who have been to a Passover or something. They've been awakened to something of his ways and they're out there. And just us being a closed off community here, we're not going to necessarily reach them, but when we go out in the community and we're making, and God is advancing this particular body, as you saw in that video, that's his design. He's been raising up this body, this tiny little body in Fruta that nobody knows what we even are. You know, even Larry told us yesterday, our guest, he said, I've passed here so many times and wondered, what is that? You know, it's like, yeah, people don't know, but now they're beginning to know who that church in Fruta is, you know, or who that weird looking building, that Jewish thing or whatever it is. They're beginning to know the power of God and what he's doing in this place. And I think we've known for a long time, and have had it spoken over, is that we would be a light that would go forth from this area. You know, we've many fire visions given to people. And, you know, we don't like that thought of fire anymore here in that sense, but that this place, there would a fire go forth from Fruta that would touch the community. And I just think we're seeing God doing that. And it's not us. We were willing to go out in the community, that's all. That's where it started. It was not about anybody promoting themselves or saying, oh, let me, oh, I want to be the one. Nothing like that, honestly. It was just being willing to get involved, to take a step, to do it, and then saw what he did with it. And boy, it really motivates you, but it's very humbling as well. And it's a big responsibility. So where hearts are changed and where the tide gets turned, and I hope you all really understand that turning the tide, that cultural flow, that wave of destruction that is wanting to come and wipe out. We saw it last year when they closed down churches. The church overall across the country lost so many people who just were worn out, who just, you know, kind of closed themselves up. And many churches yielded to those orders and demands and closed up and didn't. And many went away, you know. And so it's like we can't do that. We cannot allow that to happen. We have to turn that tide. That's the biggest responsibility, is that we remain a presence for God on this earth. And that as his bride, we reveal his glory. And that is our job. And so I just want to say that where hearts are changed, the tide is turned. It's where hearts are changed. It's not arguments. It's not a lot of words, but it's through the prayer avenues that we're using, the 40 days for life, about prayer. It's not arguing the point with people, because people are so entrenched right now. They don't want to hear any other side. We pray for ears to hear, but they don't want to hear the other side of arguments. But prayer, God can reach the heart. And it's when he turns a heart that the tide gets turned. And so we have to be faithful as his servants, to pray without ceasing, to always be vigilant, to watch over the body as well, and to gather in the stragglers that may get devoured by the enemy, you know, because they're hurting or they're, you know, they're wounded, they're harmed, you know, they're weak in the faith at times. And we all go through that, but that's the job of the bride.
And that's what a true helpmate.
Absolutely. That's what the helpmeet is. That's what he has assigned us with. to him, to Messiah, and absolutely. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. It feels supportive. And